Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our show. My name is Deacon Rich Napoli, and normally joined by my lovely wife, Janet, but she couldn't be with us today. But welcome to this somewhat warm February day compared to what we've had here in the Philadelphia area lately. This is actually a nice day. I was down in Atlanta this week and had to get a chuckle because they had maybe a tenth of an inch of snow there, and they were in a panic. And having survived several winters here in Philadelphia, I feel like I'm a veteran compared to the folks that are our good friends in Atlanta. But it was fun to watch, and fortunately it didn't amount to much down there. But here we've been getting through the winter. And what I wanted to remind everyone is, you know, yes, it's wintertime, but this is an incredible season of preparation for us, of course, primarily for Lent, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord at Easter time again. And Lent is really just getting going. For me personally, I feel like I'm finally getting the chance to get into it now that I've my travels, business travels, have come to an end. But it's also a season unique to Philadelphia this year because we're also preparing for the World Meeting of Families, which will be held this September in downtown Philadelphia in the Convention Center, and then eventually later on on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. So in preparation for that, to sort of get us to understand what it's all about from a logistical and event standpoint, and also more importantly to understand what it's all about from a teaching standpoint. Why does the Church feel it's necessary to have this World Meeting of Families? John and I have been running a series of shows this winter and spring to sort of educate us all as to what this World Meeting of Families event is. Why is it important to us, regardless of our station in life? Lots of times we think it's, I know I've had some people come to me and say, well, that really doesn't apply to me because it's for families and I'm single or I'm widowed or I'm clergy or I'm religious. And but the reality is this is an event that speaks to all of us, and the family is such a central unit of our society that understanding the beauty of what God calls us to in family is important no matter what our station in life is. So we're having this series. Last show we gave sort of an introductory overview of the whole event and then focused a little bit on why this the teachings are so important for parents. And so we had a few parents on our show, including Janet and myself and a few others, Liz Tokach, to talk about the importance of the teachings that sort of gave us strength as parents to be able to instruct our children with sort of, you know, the moral authority of the Church behind us. And this show, I have a unique opportunity here taking advantage of. There is a deacon event going on at the Shrine of Częstochowa today, and some of my deacon buddies from my class are coming up this way to attend the event. So I made an invitation to all of them to come by and be on the air with me to sort of represent. Deacons have a unique perspective. We, you know, certainly can represent the importance of this World Meeting of Families from a spousal standpoint as husband and wife, but also as a little bit as clergy as well. So we're going to have a few guests, hopefully, on the show to help kick us off and talk about those topics. But at this point, I have one good deacon friend of mine here with me, Deacon Jim Mahar from St. Francis of Assisi and in Norristown. And so welcome, Jim, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you again. We were for the class of 2011. And the tough part about being ordained is once you spend 6 years with your classmates, and then kind of once you're ordained, you're scattered to the winds, and we don't get a chance to see each other that often. So it's good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and we should hopefully have some others coming later in the program. But let me start off just to kind of recap for a little bit for those that are missed the last show, just to give a little reminder again of what this World Meeting of Family Events is and why it's so important as Catholics and as Philadelphians. And very briefly, the World Meeting of Families is an event that's held every 3 years around the world. It's been much like those of you who might be familiar with the World Youth Day that's held in different cities around the world. This is a similar type thing started by Pope John Paul in 1994, and it's held in every 3 years, as I said, around the world. It's been in Rome, it's been in Rio, it's been in Manila, it's been in Valencia, it's been in Mexico City and Milan. And this time, for the first time, it's in the United States, and it's being held in Philadelphia. So it's not an ordinary event for any city, certainly in the first time for anything like this for Philadelphia. It's held this year from September 22nd to the 27th, and so it's a whole week of events, and it's broken down into sort of two parts. And Jim and I have been, Deacon Jim and I have been, learning more about the events and the catechesis around the events, but there's really two main parts of it. There's the everybody's kind of focused on the second half, which is we'll come back to. But the first half is it's actually called the World Meeting of Families Congress. So it's a series of it's from Tuesday to Friday of that week, and it's like a typical conference that you might go to, where there are keynote speakers and then there are workshops after those speakers, and the speakers and the topics are amazingly comprehensive in their breadth. I mean, we have some great speakers coming, like Father Barron, and I know I got some others here, but I can't see them at the moment. But for each major event after that, then there are detailed follow-up sessions covering so many different topics. On how marriage is a model on the road to sanctity, how Mary was a first disciple and mother of the Redeemer, topics, really relevant topics besides those beautiful theology topics about how to deal with, family troubles and whether it's marital problems or family, children problems, alcohol and drug abuse. Lots of good topics to digest, and help us understand, unpack the beauty of the teachings on the family and how it really affects everyone, not just those in marriage, but everybody is part of a family in one way or the other, and that notion of family is so critical. So without taking you through, you can go online to the website and look in details. I'll be saying it a few times in the course of the show, but www.worldmeeting2015.org, and you can see the whole agenda there. It's a beautiful event. You can sign up for it online. You can attend. They have a hotel reserved for you to show up in and stay in, although they're going fast, so if you want to be there, you definitely want to sign up early. There are about 10 to 15,000 attendees they're expecting for the Congress itself, which is fairly light, Jim, I think you were saying earlier, compared to a Phillies World Series or something, it's small in comparison, right? But it's a big event for the church for sure. And then in the second half of the week, the weekend, is really what sort of the media focuses on the most. And that's when we will be, visited by the Pope Francis will be coming and will be doing two events for us, both of them on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. So they're going to be both quite large events. On Saturday, there'll be this big festival of families event, which will be a celebration of family lives around the world, all different cultures. There will be families coming from each continent to sort of present and speak with the Pope individually about family life in their continent and their culture. And there'll be lots of dancing and songs, and it'll be quite lively event. And then Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, I should say, the big event, the Papal Mass, will be held on Benjamin Franklin Parkway, right in front of the museum, but in front of the Rocky Steps. Not on the Rocky Steps, though I'm sure Pope Francis will probably run up and down them at some point. They're expecting up to 2 million people, 2 million people on that parkway, which would be quite quite extraordinary. And I have to say, I have been, you know, I'm in the business world, and I go to a lot of conferences and a lot of large events. And so there's a certain level of professionalism, you know, I'm sort of used to seeing it for those large events. And when it comes to church events, I sort of, you know, set my standards lower and just say, okay, this is you know, a nice Catholic event. But this one is being handled like a world-class event. And they are bringing in some amazing talent to help us orchestrate this, because it is such a significant event of logistics, you know. So we have folks, you know, that handle the traffic and the hotels and so on. So these are people coming from other large events like the Olympics, the Super Bowl, Republican National Convention, and Democratic National Convention, people that handle major large-scale events. So and the professionalism I'm seeing here is just really impressive. I'm very excited. I mean, it would have been a beautiful event anyway, but to see it sort of being managed and run so professionally, Jack O'Brien and Donna Farrell just doing a great job pulling it all together. And, you know, some of the logistics get a little frightening, how they're, you know, trying to line up, you know, the traffic so that, you know, Ben Franklin Bridge will be inbound and the Betsy Ross will be outbound or something like that. And it's really an impressive set of logistics they're going through, and the way they're organizing the trains and everything. So all that to say, you know, is sort of as a review, this is a major, major event for Philadelphia as a city. It's going to bring in roughly, I think the numbers, I think we saw, Jim, something like $500 million or something like that to the region. So all the hotels are going to be booked. All the restaurants are going to be busy. So it's a great, you know, secular event for the city, but certainly for us Catholics here in Philadelphia, it's an enormously important and beautiful religious experience. So we're looking forward to that as it unfolds over the coming months. And this, again, this series of shows that we're doing is a way to help you prepare for that and help you get get ready for that. You should have Janet here to help me take a breath here. Go ahead, Jim.
Rich was talking about the number of people that coming in, and of the 15,000 people in the convention center, a lot of them will be from either out of the state of Pennsylvania or out of the country.
Right.
And as of this moment, they've almost booked out Atlantic City, Harrisburg, Baltimore.
Yep.
So if you're thinking of just Philadelphia, the places to stay, it's really a big area that's going to be booked out. The other thing to focus on, and I know we all love the Pope coming, but on the 4 days that the convention's going to be in the Philadelphia Convention Center, of all the World Family Meetings, this is the first one that's going to be an all-in-one place.
Right.
So if you go to the Philadelphia Convention Center, you're going to hear a main speaker, and then there's going to be 30 or 40 talks after that.
That's right.
And who knows who you'll meet? There'll be people from everywhere.
That's right.
And you know, you could meet the Archbishop from New York, or you could meet the Archbishop from Boston, or you could meet the Archbishop from Brazil, for all you know. So
and
I
some
mean,
great speakers
yeah,
too.
Go yep. down and go to Father Barron's talk, and then stand in the hall, see who comes by.
Right.
So it's all in one building, and that's unique. Of all the conventions that have been held, Philadelphia is going to be able to centralize that and allow you to kind of, you know, mingle among the crowd. It's not like sitting in a room of 15,000 people and everybody evaporates. Everybody's going to get up and go to 30 or 40 other events, and they're going to be standing around and having a good time and doing that. So you're going to get some big surprises. You can't plan surprises. So show up and bring your photographs of all the people you want to meet, and maybe some of the people that you've always wanted to meet from other countries will kind of walk by.
Yeah, it is going to be. Thank you, Jim, for reminding me that, you know, this is a world event. There will be people from all over the world. In fact, those of you who are interested, there's actually an opportunity to host a family. So, you know, no matter how many hotel rooms you have, you know, available in Philadelphia, you can possibly accommodate everyone that's coming. So, you know, the Catholic community in Philadelphia is responding to that by opening their homes to families from other cities, countries, or in continents. So if you're interested in that, again, go to that same website, and it'll take you to a link where you can put your criteria in for what kind of family you'd like to have. I mean, you might have certain restrictions about smoking and things like that, or size of or age of families. But you can indicate all that, and they will come to your house. You will, you know, provide them shelter and some clothing and clothing, food, maybe clothing. Hey, what the heck? I think there's a small, remuneration you get from that. But the bigger remuneration is just the chance to share your Catholic faith with those around the world. So it's a real opportunity. And as you said, Jim, too, the convention center. For those of you who haven't been down there lately, I mean, they've expanded tremendously. It is an enormous facility that can host many, many thousands of people in very great comfort. And all the restaurants are right nearby. The Reading Market's right there. So it's going to be quite an event, and the topics are just phenomenal when you look at the agenda. So we do encourage you to sign up soon. There's only so many rooms and so many, spaces left to go, so I certainly encourage you to sign up quickly. All right, well, at this time, let me just remind everyone you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Doylestown and Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and joined by Deacon Jim Mahar from St. Francis of Assisi, and just recently joined by Deacon Ron Lewis and his wife, Diane. So thank you for joining us, guys.
Sure.
You want to... Yeah, this is these microphones work. You got to almost swallow them in order to be heard. So
it's a real pleasure to be here, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here.
As
I mentioned, we're here for a deacon event up at the Shrine, and so it's a rare opportunity to see my old deacon buddies and wives again here, and I'm very excited to do that. Again, the reminder, everyone, this show is second in a series of shows about the World Meeting of Families and preparing for that. And what I want to focus on this particular one is the perspective of the World Meeting of Families and the teachings of our faith on families as it relates to spouses, which is the most obvious category, I guess, in some ways. We're going to have other shows talk about why it's important from if you're clergy or whether you're single or divorced or widowed, it's still relevant to you. But today, since I'm taking the opportunity here, we got the deacons and wives here, to talk about what it means, the teachings of the church, how it applies to you in your own marriage, and to your families. So I've got a little time here. So let me start with Ron and Diane. Put them right on the spot here.
Oh boy!
Since I didn't get really a chance to introduce you a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where the parishes you're at, and how long you've been married, and your children and what they're doing. And your grandchildren, my gosh. That'll take half the show to tell you about the number of grandchildren.
I'm Deacon Ron Lewis. I'm at St. Cornelius Parish out in Chads Ford, Pennsylvania. And married to my lovely wife, Diane, for the last 37 years. Our pastor out there in Chads Ford is Monsignor Parlanti, okay. Greg Parlanti, who we're all familiar with. And we have four children. Alive. We have five children who are not. Mm-hmm. We have 11 grandchildren. And Christmas this year was very expensive. but very joyful. And Christmas in our house has been something that we've done in the last 23 years, 24 years. Mm-hmm. Every Christmas Eve or thereabouts, we have the entire side of the family come over. And we started with 13. Now we're at 37.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. That's just my brothers and sisters and their kids and their grandchildren.
And that's just his side.
And that's just my side. If we have my wife's side, we have another wedding. So it would be quite busy at our house. But we have a full understanding of the meaning of family at least one grand time each year and several times throughout the year.
Yeah.
Our house seems to be the hub of activity when it comes to the family.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically our background. Do I have anything to say?
So how did you guys meet?
We're actually local. We went to Our Lady Good Counsel and Archbishop Wood High School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my neck of the woods there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Did you go to wood, too?
No. I grew up in New York, but we lived there, you know, not far from the council.
Yeah.
In,
St. Vincent, so we knew each other actually since grade school.
Wow.
Yes, a long time.
Didn't like each other all that time, but we knew each other that time.
Started
dating in high school.
Yeah, high school, all through college.
All through college, and eventually
and,
got married.
Got married in 1977. Mm-hmm. At Our Lady Good Counsel in Southampton.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just had the occasion to do a funeral there recently for someone we knew, and it's a beautiful parish. You know, it's a strong community there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. So, you know, the more significant questions are about, you know, the commitment you made as a married couple. And, you know, maybe you can share, you know, everyone has this beautiful image of Jen and I were just at a wedding in Florida this past weekend. And, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than a wedding. You see this young couple coming together, and it's so... yeah, beautiful, and the promise of the future is there, and yet we all know and how hard marriage can be to live on a daily basis. You know, marriage is lived day in, day out. It's not just the wedding, it's your entire life together. And it brings so many joys and so many challenges, many of which you don't anticipate, and if you had been asked about them ahead of time, you might have had second thoughts, right? So maybe you could share with us a little, you know, what's been some of the joys for you for marriage, what have been some of the challenges for you for marriage? I want to ask you another question, then we'll turn to Jim and, a little bit as well. But, you know, maybe for Diane, you know, when you've gone to the seminary with us, you've learned a lot. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the book that they have. It's a beautiful book that sort of summarizes the teachings that will be explored at the World Meeting of Families, Love is Our Mission, and so on. But, you know, is there something, you know, there's lots of things it talks about there. I was going to ask you to just, you know, if there's one that kind of stuck out in your mind there. You know, they talk about marriage being a sacrifice, and, you know, as much as Christ sacrificed for us, or love being a choice. You know, was there a time in your marriage when, you know, in the beginning, of course, and in your first dating, it's lovely and it's wonderful. But was there a time in your marriage when you sort of had to make a choice? You decided to be with Ron and that, you know, recognize that he maybe not, we don't know how wonderful he is, but...
well, we dated like 8 years prior to our marriage, so we dated a long time prior to it. But I think every couple has to come to that.
Yeah.
I really do. Especially after seeing our girls getting married now. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is just comes to that.
That
they have to... It's a choice. In fact, I think we told... our son-in-law's that, some of them anyway. You know, it's a choice.
Right, because those initial feelings are wonderful, but they form the beginnings of the bond, but that's not the end of the bond.
No.
And you have to choose to be part of that marriage. You have to choose the love of the other. Choose to get the other person to heaven. Choose that sacrifice.
And that is. You're right, it's sacrifice. And I mean, I'm surprised we're still married just driving here today. No, I'm kidding.
For those of you who didn't know,
we had quite a
ride. Little challenge getting here today.
Just a little.
No more than usual, though.
Google's not always as reliable as you'd like it to be, right?
No, but I think an important thing, too, with marriage is a sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor.
Well, you're fortunate with this
you
guy.
Do.
He was one of several class clowns we had in our class, breaking up the humor, breaking up a dry topic.
So, basically, it's I think a vital part of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
We find the most joy in laughing at ourselves,
right?
Making each other laugh, and it really does diffuse any tension that might exist. You know, making kids laugh in the family, making the grandkids, seeing the joy in their faces when you make them laugh is really a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And being serious at the same time. You know, the other thing is about marriages and having a family is that you don't have to be a good guy. You're not always to be a friend. You really should adhere to the principles and the precepts of the church and the family. You got to teach children to pray. You got to make sure that what you believe is conveyed to the children. We are charged with that responsibility. It's a very, very important charge that Christ gives us in our family.
Yep.
It is probably one of the most important, the most important things that we have as parents to do. It's not to teach them how to earn money.
Right.
It's not to teach them to grow and get things. It's basically to love God, to love their Jesus. I think if we really want like an example for us, all we have to do is go as far as the Holy Family.
Right?
I mean, Joseph, protector. Joseph, provider.
Yep.
Joseph, the leader.
Yep.
If you really want to know what respect Jesus had for his mother, we don't know much about his childhood, but we do know that his very first act in his ministry on earth occurred at her request.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine the Jewish woman sitting at a wedding, looking over to her son who just said, you know, what big deal? What business is of mine?
What is to me?
And her giving him the look that only a Jewish mother could look and saying, do what he tells you.
Right.
So mom, because of her care of the child at home, I think had great influence over Jesus from his human side,
human nature. Right.
And it was conveyed right from the very beginning of his ministry here on earth.
Right. And just, you know, and I'm sure the son models the father's love for his wife, and that son sees that and brings that love as a son to his mother as well. So I think that's part of our role as you know, we come together as a couple, but we wind up, you know, being, you mentioned earlier, you know, your whole family comes to your house for Christmas and so on, because they view this as the center point of their family, and you then become a witness to show by example. WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm here with some of my deacon friends from the class of 2011 and one of their wives. And we're here to talk about the world meaning of families and why it's important to us, regardless of the role and station we have in life, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're religious. There's something beautiful to learn about the role of family in our society, the primal role of family in our society. It existed long before governments existed. So it's really the centerpiece of civilization. For those of you who are, you know, this is a live show, so those of you who are interested, feel free to call us at 215-345-1570. I'm sure we'll get some of our deacon guys on the way to the event tonight to chime in here. But again, 215-345-1570. So now I want to come back to Jim. Jim Mahar, Deacon Jim Mahar at St. Francis in Norristown. And sort of ask you the same kinds of questions. Obviously, Sharon's not here today. She couldn't join us. But tell us a little bit about your marriage, how you met, how many children, where, and
I can tell you that story. And marriages, in my mind, they all have their own unique texture. And Sharon and I met at age 20, a little later than Ron and his bride. And but we met one night at a when I lived in New York. We're from upstate New York. And you could drink at age 18 in New York.
That's right.
So we met at a dance. We danced a little, and it got to be 10:30, 11. And we made a difficult decision, and we'll come back to marriage in a minute, but we made a difficult decision. Sharon was the oldest of five, and she had to be in at midnight. And I offered to take her out for beer and pizza. And the beer and pizza won. And even before I met her parents, when I dropped her off at 2 o'clock in the morning, four eyes were looking out the window. But that's the interesting part of the story, because Sharon and I always believed that we got married for better and worse, and worse is just part of our journey. And it began just like the story, that parents were looking out the window. And they didn't know me. This guy dropped her off.
Right.
Who was he? Little did they know. And we kind of went from there. And eventually I met them, and they were always skeptical. As a matter of fact, Ron mentioned Monsignor Perlante. They were good Catholics. And Sharon and I always liked to go to church, but her mother was never sure who I was. Mm-hmm. So she sent us over to see their Monsignor, and he brought us in and sat us down and talked to us for about 5 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe 3 minutes. I don't know how long. And he was a pretty smart guy. And the next day, he called up my future mother-in-law, Ruth, and said, I had an extensive talk with the couple, and they'll be okay. meaning he had figured out she was just, you know, first kid, first marriage. She was sitting on the edge of of the thing. But we've been married 48 years, and we always handle better or for worse. And our secret is we always go out to eat. and when we want to discuss something, we say we need to discuss this, and we go out to eat, and we'll discuss something, and we never go home mad because we always eat. And so we've had a interesting journey, and I would, in thinking back on our journey, I think that Sharon and I and Jesus or the Trinity got married, but we've grown in intellectually. By that I mean, we've all grown maybe along together. We've grown in things. And Ron was talking about his diaconate experience. And I had an interesting experience. For you who don't know, the diaconate is down at the seminary, St. Charles Seminary. Mm-hmm. And Sharon wanted to go to a church ministry class down at St. Charles Seminary. And it was a 2-year program, but she didn't want to drive there. So she talked me into taking it. Mm-hmm. So the two of us took church ministry, and probably in the second year of the church ministry, there was a sign on the wall, and she says, I want you to read this. And the sign was, how do you get to be a deacon? And literally my wife looked at me and said, this is something you ought to do. Wow. So we've been making these decisions together for a long time, and even last night we went out and we went to a financial meeting, and afterwards we sat down and we had a drink by ourselves at a local place, and then we went home. And what you need to understand about that is I have 5 children and 9 grandchildren and all the feet that run around houses.
Another fruitful marriage.
Yeah. Right. And my 35-year-old son John has spina bifida and doesn't walk.
That's right.
So we have a handicapped child, and and some days he's a blessing, and some days he's a blessing. meaning he can be you look at this handicapped kid in a wheelchair, 35 or however old he is, and he can be as cantankerous as anybody you've ever met. So you're feeling really sorry for him when you see him, and after he gets done chewing you out, you don't feel sorry for him anymore. So he's an interesting person. So when I say to you, marriage is better and marriage is worse, it has its days.
Sure.
But you learn to laugh at them, and so you kind of get a sense of humor on this. Sharon and I always play good cop, bad cop on them, and the way we deal with them is we just outnumber them 2-1, and we do what we have to do, and I think that's what good parents do.
But isn't that a beautiful witness, to what a marriage is as well? Because you know, when you started your marriage, you weren't hoping to have children. You certainly weren't expecting to have a child with challenges like that. And yet you embraced that child, and you welcomed him, and you nurtured him. And look at now, he's a 35-year-old man. And that's part of what we're called to be in marriage. That's part of the sacrifice, not only to one another, but to our family, to our children, that, you know, you give all to everyone in your family. And I'm sure your other children, you know, are watching you, and again, you're being a witness there. We're called to be witnesses in all everything we do, but you're being a witness of this is what love means. This is what love actually is.
Yeah, if I can, I want to tell one more story, and that is it's got to be about, we've been married 48 years, maybe about 20 years ago or a little before that. I was at MDP Parish, and one day the pastor, Father Gormley, came up to me and he said to me, and this is not about me, he said, I need a Eucharistic minister. Now it's Saturday afternoon. He said, would you be a Eucharistic minister? And then he said, at 5:30 Mass, which was an hour and a half later. So for about 6 or 7 years, I was a Eucharistic minister, and Sharon kept saying to me, I could never do that. I could never do that. Well, we got a new pastor. His name was Father Gaynard, and he ran an ad in a bulletin I'll never forget. He said, if you know somebody who you think is a good Catholic who can do and will be a great Eucharistic minister, call me up. And I'll call him, and I'll never let him know who called.
Oh, geez.
So I call. You know what happens? I called
sure
them
you
up.
You wanted to know this?
Yeah. Oh, I've told Sharon this 100 times, but not right away. So I called him up. I discussed it with him. And one day in church, he came over and he says, I'd like you to be a Eucharistic minister. And we went home. And on the way home, I'm saying, what did he say? Oh, really? And then she says, well, he said, I got to go to training. And I said to her, well, I never went to the training, but I'll go with you. Maybe I should learn what I'm doing. Said, you see if you like it. Well, that was 15 years ago. This morning, she went to Mass and was a Eucharistic minister.
Yep, yep. God bless.
So sometimes you have to do a little coaching. And don't take me as a guy. I'm sure I'm looking at Ron's wife here. She's thinking of some guilty thing she did to him at some point. She hoodwinked him into something. Maybe she won't admit it, but my guess is there's something.
Nope. I'm just thinking that how God calls everybody in different ways.
Right.
Truly.
And how he uses each one of us. You know, as you said, Ron, our goal is to get our spouse into heaven. Sometimes, you know, one is the instrument to the other, kind of a little nudge to push you along. And God does some clever things there, working through Jim and others.
Well, you know, it's interesting that if there is a loving and respectable relationship, and that other person suggests perhaps that you would be good at doing something, you tend to listen.
Right.
You may not want to do it initially, or you may not think you have the time to do it, but God makes the time. You know, we all went through the diaconate, and one of the things I heard as a constant theme, if this is right, it'll happen.
Right.
It'll happen in spite of what we think.
Right.
You know? And God bless us, it did. for better or worse, it did.
Right.
And we have, I think, to a great degree, the fact that we as married deacons had a great relationship going in.
Sure.
And it was because of that relationship that we were able to extend into that new commitment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, who knows you better than your spouse? And you know, I had the same experience. You know, Janet, you know, as I came into my faith very late in life, but, you know, as I came into my faith, Janet kind of kept saying, hey, you know, you ought to look into this deacon stuff. And I just, like, get out of here, you know. What do you see in that? You know, and it wasn't until several other people at the parish said the same thing.
Wow.
Said, are you going to be our next deacon? Because I was at the ordination of Bill Jacobellis, one of our deacons in our parish. And I'm like, really? What's going on there? So, of course, your spouse knows you best. And, you know, it's been a long journey. And, God takes us in our, as they say, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Exactly.
He makes us much better. We're not worthy to be deacons ever, but he certainly helps us prepare for that.
Well, I never thought that Ron would be a deacon.
Yeah.
I mean, I never, in my mind, I didn't even know what a deacon was.
Right.
His brother's a deacon, and when he was through formation, I said, what are you doing? And then Ron was called. He was actually called by our Monsignor. He was called by our Monsignor. And
I do want to go on to another topic. But
take a minute.
Yep.
We had actually been asked to drive Monsignor to a benefit for Amigos de Jesus in Philadelphia. It was the second time I actually had a chance to talk to Monsignor. He was brand new to our parish.
Oh, wow.
And we were talking on the way to the actual event, and he turned to me and asked me, would you think about becoming a deacon? He's sitting in the front seat. Die
wow.
sitting in the back seat. And my first inclination is, well, I'm going to have to talk to my wife. I said that to him. He said, don't worry, make an application. I already talked to her. So I was the last to be asked. And it was a smart thing to do, because he realized, as we all do now today, that this is a couple relationship to the church, not a single man.
Right.
Although single men do get called.
Absolutely.
We are all in a relationship as it relates to our spouse.
Right. Let me remind everyone, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. My wife, Janet, can't be with us today, but we do have several of my deacon classmates with me today as we get ready to go to an event at the Shrine later of Justahova. And I thought I'd take that opportunity to talk in our continuing series on the World Meeting of Families, to talk about what it means, the importance of this topic of family, especially as husbands and wives. So I have Deacon Ron Lewis and his wife Diane and Deacon Jim Mahar with me. And I'd like to change it a little bit because we have another thing we can talk about, too, which is we're not just spouses here. We're not just husbands and wives. We are also clergy. We're also deacons. And so I want to get a little perspective from you as to, you know, how is this topic, how have these church teachings helped you in your ministry, or has it helped you in your ministry? You know, as you minister to couples and families, you know, have you been able to take this good set of teachings, which are not always well understood initially, especially the theology of the body and things like that, but have you been able to use them in your ministry to help explain and unpack the beauty of the family? So before I do that, let me just, one other thing I forgot. If you are interested in calling in, it's 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. So to either one of you, you know, as clergy, do you find yourself drawing on the wellspring of teachings on the family?
I certainly do. In my parish, Deacon Harry Morris is also in our class,
yes.
And myself, we teach, we instruct in RCIA.
Right.
And we offer a different perspective because typically speaking, a priest might be a person who might teach that, or another lay person might be able to teach that. We have a perspective that we have one foot in the clergy and one foot in the married life, and we're able to give a uniquely combined perspective. You know,
right.
Through our diaconate training, our formation, we do get insight as to the theology behind the sacrament.
Right.
But I think we are able to, I think, incorporate the theology into our teaching method. We're able to give real life examples to folks that are coming in, where they, I can touch on a same ground basis, you
right,
know.
Right.
It's not talking high theology to people, but basically giving them day-to-day examples of how this theology really works.
Right.
I find it greatly important in preaching.
Yes.
I find that the ability to work in spousal relationship, not necessarily between Di and I, but in general,
in
a homily,
right. Yep.
And how it would affect the family, not only the family as the home unit, but the family of our parish, and ultimately the greater family of our church, really invaluable. I think the understanding that love within the family is the foundation that grows into love of community, which grows into love of church, is really important. I want to bring up the point that you really can't begin to think about other people if you're really having a difficult time thinking of people in your own family. I'm talking about people outside the family. So it really does grow from family. Families ultimately, and spousal relationship and family as it relates to children and grandchildren,
yep.
is really the basis. It's the foundation for the whole pyramid. The whole thing falls apart. And that's why Pope Francis is very much focusing on this. It is also an opportunity to evangelize outside of formal roots. I mean, I deal with people all the time.
Right.
And
you're a doctor, right?
And I have never in my practice, until I've been ordained and was at the end of my formation, have incorporated Jesus into my practice on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
I don't miss the opportunity to bless somebody when I leave the office.
No.
I don't miss the opportunity to show them who I am. I wear my Sacred Heart on one side, my diaconate pin on the
nice,
other, and
nice.
A Lady of Medjugorje, Guadalupe.
Okay.
And it's important that they know who I am outside of the medical profession.
Right, right.
And I incorporate that. You know, there's a lot of spiritual healing, and it's most of the folks coming to see me with pains and aches have relational problems.
Right.
They're having problems with their own relations.
Aches and pains in their...
And the aches and pains are derivative of the anxiety mind. And depression that sets in. So I can relate to them on that basis because of my understanding of my relationship with God and my own wife.
Right.
Not bringing any personal information to the conversation,
right.
But understand that they understand that I am empathetic and understanding, compassionate with that. And that's something that my faith has taught me to incorporate in my life.
Right.
And it becomes a ministry outside of the normal professional pathways.
Absolutely. Deacon Jim, how about you? You know, in terms of, you know, do you find yourself drawing upon the teachings on family in your ministry to your parishioners?
Very, very much so. I do a lot of work with the elderly, and they ask all kinds of interesting questions, and they, as Ron alluded to, he has patients that they have trouble talking to people about where they're at and sharing and that type of thing. And I find that they'll come and talk to the deacon first because he has a family.
Right.
Last year, my wife had a back operation, and she had five discs fused together. Right. And I can't tell you how many people came and talked to me about that. But what was interesting is while they're talking to me about how's your wife, then after that they'd ask me another question because they knew I had an idea of what what pain was.
Right.
What hurt was, and they might say to me, my brother has this, or my mother has that, or, you know, my mother, a couple of times people said, well, my mother has Alzheimer's, I don't know whether I should take care of her or not, and they would, and I found they would discuss that with me, because they had a feeling that I would understand where they're coming from. I had a feeling for their pain, and we could sit and talk about that. I could give them examples. We had a girl in St. Francis that had my son had an operation at Children's Hospital, and we had a girl in St. Francis who was an eighth grader who had a tumor on her brain operated. And the mother came to me because she knew that I'm, you know, being in the church, but I could also relate to what was going on. And it was more, and I said to her, matter of fact, I knew the doctor who was doing the operation, and I said, you have the best in the world.
Yeah.
And so I could help her with her anxiety, but it's not that I could help her, it's that she believed me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that sometimes people tell you things and you say, well, they've never experienced that. And I think both Ron and I have experienced some of those things.
Yep.
And when we say, you know, that'll work or that won't work, they tend to say, I agree with that. I can, you know, you can empathize with me because you understand.
Right, right. You know, I think that's a beautiful thing. We do have, I mean, priests also, of course, have great witnesses and great ability to relate to people suffering. But certainly deacons have a different calling and a different perspective to give. I know for me, one of the teachings of the church that we wind up, Jen and I wind up, you know, working, you know, giving classes on all the time, was natural family planning. You know, natural family planning is one of the centerpieces of theology of the body. You know, that says you can cooperate with God's plan for your fertility and space your children appropriately as you determine you need, but in a way that's consistent with what God has intended without using birth control. And I came in as a big skeptic, and you know, eventually Janet, in her beautiful invitation, you know, wound up going, taking me to a natural family planning class. And being a science guy and a technology guy, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. How come people don't know about this? This is such you know, it's scientifically sound and 99% effective. Why isn't everybody using that? So, you know, we wound up giving the NFP, like, intro overview classes in our pre-Cana, and so many of the young people thanked us for it, saying, wow, I'd never heard that. And that's just one example of the teachings that are in this World Meeting of Families sessions that are coming in September. And there's many more topics, like I said, covering things like, you know, divorce and infidelity and drugs. All the hardships of a married life are covered in this beautiful event that's coming up. I encourage you all to attend it. It's September 22nd to the 27th. The Congress goes on from Tuesday to Friday, and then the papal visit from on Saturday and Sunday. So please mark it on your calendars. Be part of that plan, that event. That's going to be a special event. We'll be doing another show in the coming months on World Meeting of Families from a clergy perspective, and World Meeting of Families from you know, from a single perspective. So. There's a prayer that I don't know if your parishes have been reading, but we've been encouraged to say this at the beginning of every Mass. And I'd ask you all, the three of us, four of us here, to go through that together. So let's start with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God and Father of us all, in Jesus, your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.
I think that's a wonderful prayer. It's a beautiful way to kind of set the stage for what's coming this September. So I want to thank Deacon Ron Lewis and his wife Diane for joining us. And Deacon Jim Mahar. It's been a great pleasure having you on the air. It's just a wonderful confluence of events here to get you all in one place at one time. We're looking forward to a great event this week. And, pray for you all as you prepare for Lent, that you may draw closer to Christ and to share in his mission of love. That's the title of the book that's out that supports the World Meeting of Families. Love is our mission, the family fully alive. And I think Jesus and the Holy Family do that better than anyone. So thank you all for joining us today on Deacon Dialogues. We'll see you next month. Take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.